Oh, church, it is who he is. And we are that important to him. We are everything to him, everything he's done, so that he could be in relationship and in your life and in my life, taking us where he wants us to go. It is a joy to be here this morning. Brand new series. Are you ready for a brand new series? Are you going to say amen every once in a while? That's a good start. Let me start you with this. Here's a picture of a car. How about that? 1930 Model A Ford. My uncle, Joel, that was his car. Got it way back in 2011. Waited for years to get a car like this. A few months before he passed away, he said, James, would you sell my car for me? I said, absolutely. I don't know a whole lot about selling cars. I'm cautious in doing it, so I probably was the best person for the job. And so I said, yes, I'll do that. And so a friend of mine in here, he was here in first service, Jack and I went and got the car, brought it down from Prescott, and I began to get familiar with the car. And what I noticed is that the guy who built this car, see, everything was nice about it. I mean, it looks great. This picture doesn't really show it justice. This car was nice. The interior was done beautifully on this car. It's got a 289 with a C4 transmission, which was from a 1966 Mustang and a Maverick rear end, which they say is the ideal package for this car. And not only that, when he built the car, he put a whole new electrical harness in the car, and that was all brand new. And everything on this car was done to the just about the best that it could be. And when you sat inside and you the little chrome handles to crank up the windows in the front, they were a bit misleading, because if you just lifted it up, the electric windows came up. And when you pushed it down, the electric windows went down. And there was air conditioning in this car. And everything about this car was done the way you would want to do it. And Jack and I actually took it in the schools. We were school. Our Camelback Academy was part of the Christmas parade here in Glendale. We rode through the whole parade in that car. We just had an absolute blast. And every once in a while, I would take Blake and Oakley, and they'd pile in the back of the car, and I'd start it up, and we'd go all around the neighborhood and just really enjoy it. People would wave, and it was just a great experience. And I sold the car. I know you think maybe I got hooked and I kept it. I would have loved, I considered it. But the car not only was really, really nice to look at, car was so much fun to drive. And here's the key. Every single time I got in that car and stuck the key in the ignition, which it had a tilt wheel too, by the way, and turned that key, that car would start right up. And that car took me every place that we went to. And it never gave us trouble. Everything about this was maintained well. The radiator went out about a year earlier. And my uncle Joel did the research, found out the best radiator that you could put in, any other mechanic, put that radiator in the car. That's what God wants to do with your life. That's what he wants to do with my life. But James, you don't. My life does not look like that car. You see, when they put it together, they put this engine in it. It was the best option. But what you don't understand is this car started out like this third picture. And they took that car and they turned it into the car that looked fabulous, drove fabulous, was wonderfully dependable, did everything you wanted it to do, and took you everywhere. That's what God wants to do. No matter what the shape of your life and my life is, that is what he wants to do. And he will do it. He will make this illustration look pale compared to what he wants to do. Somewhere I have a pair of glasses, I'm sure. Pale to what he wants it to do. And we live our lives in these highlight reels. Thank you. We post things on Facebook and everything that comes to mind. And we want things to look the best. Over these next 4 weeks, the word that I kind of want to, I almost renamed the whole series because there's this one word that I want to surface in our thinking over and over again. And that word is better. Just better. Because God wants to work in the areas of our lives and take us to just a better place. And as we look at our subject this morning, it's you know, we can live our life through these filters and highlight reels, and we can get our personal branding, and we're almost conditioned to invest in what others see and neglect the things that they don't see. And that's the arena that I want to live in this morning. That's where I want to lean into. Because listen to this, the growth that actually changes your life, that holds up under pressure, that outlasts crisis and compounds over decades, happens entirely below the surface in soil that no one else gets to inspect. You see, the hood is closed and the engine turns. You don't see that stuff, but that is unbelievably important. And yeah, we should be posting on Instagram and Facebook, but what we ought to be posting is positive stuff and good stuff. Do you know why? Because God is good. And you know how often he's good? He's good all the time. And he's good in our lives, and that's his whole purpose in our lives, is to allow his goodness and his love to flow into our lives. But there's a lie. There's a lie. The lie says this: getting better means improving what people can see. Now, I'll grant you, it's important what people see. But the truth is this: authentic growth is always an inside job. And you cannot grow past what you are on the inside. And God is always working on the inside. And sometimes we push back and we don't want him to. But that's where he does his amazing work in our lives. And we can get better at looking deeper. We need to get better at looking deeper. Now listen, this message, it's almost going to seem like, and it's not, it's almost going to seem like this message is for singles. It's almost going to seem like this is a message for if you're looking for a mate, and it's not. It's that's not where I intended to go, but this is an arena. Our relationships are an arena that so often show this in such a real way. And we all could go back and we would like to make in relationships that we've had, I wish I could have done this different, or I wish I had never made that decision. And we can feel that and deal with that. And the reality is, listen, some of us who are older, been through relationships, we can hear this, and it kind of creates a tension because we start thinking about those things. And I think as a church family, and if we're going to move together as a group, we need to not be afraid to feel that tension and understand that tension. I know we wish we could, but we can't. So just feeling that tension, because feeling that tension helps put us to the place where we want to hear enough truth from God's word so that the generations and the students that are coming around us, that are coming behind us, have the opportunity to not make some of the same mistakes that we have made. And they can live in a better land in a different way. It's not a series about the past. It's all about the future. Not about then, but what can we do now? Because there's a passage that we've read over and over again. And we're going to read it again right now. And you will hear this passage from years to come more than you ever probably even want to. But because I think it's that important to you and to me about who God is and what he's doing in our lives. And in Romans 8:28, he says, and we know. Paul is older when he's writing this. He's not saying, and I'm pretty sure. He's not saying, I think that. He's not saying, maybe. He's saying, and we know that in all things, our failures, our successes, the good times, the bad times, the difficult things we go through, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That passage, it means better. This word better. God's developing a better character in us. He's developing better talent. This stage is full of people who many of them on this stage, just from our church, and just began to step into this arena of singing a little bit. And now it's at the place where they've put enough time into their talent that we worship together and we're blessed with the level that we have here at Camelback. Because taking that talent and putting time into it. Our relationships with people, we want them to get better. We want our golf game to get better. You don't want your golf game to get worse. A lot of times it feels like it's getting worse. But over time, it gets a little better. Better is what we want. Better is what God has in mind. You may be dating. I actually mentioned to Danny, I'm going to have Adrian make sure that all of our students that are in their own service having a great time this morning, I want to make sure that they watch this message because they need to hear this message. We want to be better in our finances. We want to be better as parents raising godly kids. We want to be better at that because doing it God's way is always better. And that tension that we feel because we've hit short of the mark, we feel. And you know, that's God doesn't deal in terms of condemnation. God is a good God. And if he uses any of this, he uses it through conviction, allowing us to recognize and move forward and grow from our mistakes. But allowing that tension and allowing those coming behind us to maybe not make the same mistakes that we have. I'm having a great time dealing with allergies this week. In this series, church, here's what I want. I want us to look at what it means for God to build real beauty in us, in a culture that only looks at beauty one way. I want us to look at how do we deal with bad people. I want us to learn to look at how do we not let them influence us. How do we not let bad people, ugly people, influence, ugly in the sense of the way they act. And how to not be damaged by a broken world. That's what we're going to be looking at. We tend to so quickly look at the surface. Proverbs 31:30 says this. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Goes the same for men. This is not just for women. This is the work that God wants to do in us. And in a world where we filter things and we Photoshop things, we can almost rent a life and put it out there. In a world like that, the one thing about that car, not only did I enjoy everything about how great it looked, but I enjoyed how that car all the time did what I was asking it to do, and it never failed. I can't tell you the amount of times I've seen cars that guys were working on, and they would only be halfway through. I can't tell you how many times I would see one of them on the side of the road with the hood up. There was one, a 64 Chevy I saw. It had Bondo on it, and they were working on the body, and they were doing stuff to it, and it's just about where it was in the process that they were working on, but it was on the side of the road. The hood was up, and the one thing that I noticed is that the wheels were expensive and brand new, and brand new tires. And that's where they started. And it was sitting on the side of the road. Guys, you know chrome don't get you home. You better figure out where, it's the same thing with our lives. You better figure out where you're going to start working. You know, relationships. Red flags, we see them. We step into relationships. We're talking about dating, yeah, but we're talking about other relationships. We're talking about marriage. And maybe we didn't stop to figure out, well, how does he deal with anger? How does she deal with anger? How do they deal with authority? How do you deal with authority? What do you think of your parents? What's your thinking on some of these things? How do you deal with money? And yet we kind of let that stuff, but he's so wonderful for me. And we focus on that. And you know, dating is sales. That's all it is. You're putting the best you out there, and you want you to be bought. And we all do that when we're dating. I mean, I was careful how I talked to Karen when I first met her. I mean, I'm still careful how I talk to Karen. Don't get me wrong. And I'm telling you, I happen to think the best place to meet somebody is in church. I mean, I just believe that's true. Now, with marriage, we're all in on premarital counseling. If you don't get premarital counseling, it's like starting a whole new career without getting any training. And you know what that mess is going to look like. And this is not a message on dating. It's not a series on dating. I know it feels like we're going there. And we'll land there again in a bit. But this shows up in so many ways in your life and in my life. And our culture says, well, just move in together and you'll figure it out. That makes a lot of sense. And believe it or not, the statistics support that big time for the first year after marriage. But when couples move in together and get married after that, the first year statistics are great, but every single year after that, the divorce percentage gets higher and higher and higher. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And what you and I are doing is we're saying, Lord, take us all the way through and do it your way. You know why? Because it's better. There's that word. It's better. God's way is always better in the different areas of our lives. His way is always better. But when we take God's design and we flip it upside down and we tell him this is how we're going to do it, we live with the consequences of that decision. You don't go to a broken world and ask it for advice. You go to a creator who designed it all. We came out of this week where we sent astronauts to go out farther than they've ever gone before to get a better look even more of the things that God has done and God has designed. And they were four people that did an absolutely amazing job of that trip and telling us what that trip was like and bringing us back a hope and put it. They put a spark in the heart of our nation for space exploration again. And frankly, we need that. You know why? Because it's better. Better's a good thing. You know, Paul, we get so focused on looks. And our looks are the one thing that's going to fade. Everything else is going to stay there. But our looks are going to fade away. And our attitude, well, unless we make it better, it's going to stay there. And Paul says this in Corinthians. Look, he says this. He says, no, that's not the one that I wanted. I don't think that's the one that I want. Yeah. Yeah, 2 Corinthians. I may have jumped on you, Simeon. I did. But go to my verse. 2 Corinthians. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You know what Paul's doing? He's laying it. Listen, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Your body's getting older. I know if you're younger, you don't think you got, maybe you do. But your bodies, our bodies are getting older. And Paul's saying, but inwardly, we're renewed day by day. In other words, we're being made better and better and better every day. Simeon, go back to the one I missed, because that's a good one. A ring of gold in a pig's mouth. So is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. And it's not just women, it's men too. You know, this, what God wants to do, he will do. He's that intentional about your life and about my life. But listen, there is a danger. There is a danger of having the wrong people at key seats around the table in our lives. Because they influence, remember that word, because they influence our lives. And Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says this. He says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. Don't be fooled, because you will be. Don't be led down a path about something and think that you're right, because you're not. Bad company corrupts good character. But I'm back on dating. But I'm just dating him to tell him about Jesus. We used to call that missionary dating. That's what we used to call it. The only thing I have to say about that is it is much easier to pull someone down than it is to pull someone up. And you need to remember that. And the enemy of your soul knows that. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Let's jump way back into the Old Testament. King of Israel, his name is Ahab. He's the king. Nobody can do more for a nation and for himself and his family than the king. Unbelievable opportunity. Unchecked wealth. He can take his nation to a great place or not so. Ahab. The Bible is so clear about Ahab. This is a story that some of you know the story, but this is a story we have to stop and look at. Here's what we know about Ahab. See, Ahab was king material. Everything visible about Ahab, he looked like a king. It says he was tall in stature. He was commanding. He was charismatic. And he had the appearance of leadership. But he coasted entirely on externals and never developed character. Character. The one thing that you and I are going to take with us to heaven. It's the only thing we're taking with us. All the stuff that we said, the only thing is the character in us that God in this life is developing in you and in me. He coasted entirely on his externals and he never developed character. Here's a question. Is there something in your life that you're coasting on an external? You're just there's something that you're good at, something, a strength that you, and you're just, because of that, you're coasting and not developing character. Look what he does. He married for surface attraction. And his wife was so extreme that even in our culture, we still use her name. Her name is Jezebel. How many of you heard the name Jezebel before? How many of you think that it correlates with character? No, it has a whole specific connotation. See, he married for surface attraction without doing due diligence on who he was letting in to the most influential seat at the table of his life. And when I look at this story, 1 Kings chapter 16, He married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal of the Sidonians, and he began to bow down in worship of Baal. How quickly that happened. He marries a pagan princess. King of Israel, God's chosen people, marries this hot chick who happens to be a princess. Pagan worship is what, which means they practice worship with prostitution, child sacrifice, and witchcraft. And what does he do? Very quickly, right? He marries her, and then he begins to worship the pagan gods the way the pagans do. He followed a girl who worshiped false gods, married her, and then he worshiped false gods. And over, you read this story. You need to go back and read this whole story. Over and over, God came to Ahab and Jezebel, and he gave them opportunity to change, and over, they rejected it and stayed on their evil path. You know there are, even today, there are flat-out evil people in the world. Time goes by, not very long, and Jezebel actually kills God's prophets, puts them to death. And Ahab, he is so shallow and surface. Here's one of the things that happens. He looks out his castle windows, and there's a whole vineyard right next to his castle. And he decides, I want that. I want that. And he goes and he talks to the owner and he says, I'd like to buy your vineyard and I'll give you any other vineyard that you want. This is the one that I want and you can have anyone. And the guy says, no. This is from, this God originally gave this to my family. It's been handed down. My heritage is this. I don't want to sell it. And Ahab comes back to the castle and sulks. Scripture actually says it. He sulks. He sulks for days. He actually goes into his bedroom, doesn't eat, and sulks and sulks and sulks. He won't sell me the castle. And Jezebel comes in and says, What's up? I don't want the castle, but he won't sell me the castle. And Jezebel says, I'll get you the castle. She puts this thing together where the guy actually gets stoned to death. And then she takes the castle and she gives him the castle. And now he's happy because he's got his castle. This is the level that they had fallen to. And at this point, God says, that's it. That is enough. I've had enough. You're both going to die. And through his prophet, he says exactly how they're going to die and where they're going to die. And exactly what God says is exactly what happens. Let that be a clue to you and a clue to me. What God says is going to happen is going to happen. Whether you're looking at your life, my life, church history, history ahead of us, or the end times, what God says is going to happen is going to happen. And it happens with them. And in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 38, it says this. It says, this is from Ahab. Now, what happens is he's out in battle. And while he's out in battle, and he's on his chariot, which is what God said was going to happen, an arrow struck him. Nobody even aimed. Nobody had a good shot. This was a random arrow that came down and caught him in the side in the tiny space, between his armor, and it killed him. And look what it says. They washed the chariot at the pool in Samaria where the prostitutes bathed and the dogs licked up his blood as the word of the Lord had declared. Exactly how God said it was going to happen is exactly how it happened. Jezebel, this is one dumb chick, because God tells where he names the place where she's going to be killed. And she goes there. I mean, if God said you're going to die, I said, would you almost never go to that place? She goes to that place. They actually throw her out a window. She splashes down. Before they even get to the body, the dogs eat her, eat the rest of her body. I don't know why, but they didn't eat the skull, and they didn't eat her hands, and they didn't eat her feet. Dogs must have a thing about that. I don't know anything about it. But that's what happened, and that's exactly what the scripture said was going to happen. See, what God says is what happens. And you know what the Bible, here's what is written in scripture. You know, this is what God has to say about Ahab. I want you to read it with me. He says this, no one else ever, clear? No one else ever sold himself so completely to do what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did. Buckle your seatbelt. Under the influence of his wife, Jezebel. You see, we let people at the table of influence in our lives. Our relation, the person that we're going to marry, the person that we're going to live our life with, and we don't stop and take inventory and figure things out ahead. And none of us are perfect. This is not what we're talking about. But better. We need to get better at looking deeper. And we will make less mistakes. I find it fascinating that on that passage of scripture, right in the Bible, so we don't miss it, he says, under the influence. And this wrong relational choice that didn't just damage him, but it actually became the defining commentary on his entire reign. And not only was it the commentary on his entire reign, it was a section of time that Israel sank to its lowest in history. Not choosing the right person to be at the table. It took a whole nation to its lowest in history. See, if you build a relationship on glitter and on shallow, you end up with a horror story. It's like the scripture says, it's like building your house on the sand. It's not gonna withstand. And there's something else that I think we need to look at. There are two phrases that one of them we know. Not everything that glitters is gold. We know that. We'll have an event here, and the school will have an event and use our room. And I don't know why, but ladies like to have glitter on their dresses. And then they leave, and the glitter stays everywhere. And it's, I probably should be in counseling for what I think about glitter. It's just... can't get rid of it. And not everything that glitters is gold. But there's something else that's true. Not everything that's gold glitters. There is so much more than just the things that glitter. And you and I would do well to learn that. You see, what you may not describe as outwardly beautiful may be inwardly amazing because it's something that God himself is building. Here's a question. Has culture shaped your thinking about what beauty is? Kardashians. We all want to look good. Look, there's nothing wrong with looking good. Nothing wrong with being our best. I mean, you know, I've said for years, if the barn needs painting, you paint it. If you need to pull out some dents, you pull them out. We're living in a time now where you used to you used to look either young or old or somewhere in the middle. But now you look at our culture and you can look young or you can look old or you can look surgical. And you can get online and surgical is... Well, God is so creative better. Better than the world. I don't know where the time went. I don't know how to get. God is so creative. Beauty in so many different ways, different shapes, different looks, different backgrounds, different races, different personalities. We are all so very different. God creates beauty in so many ways, and not in a shallow, superficial standard of beauty, because it's what he's doing. I'm telling you, if you're single, ask God to direct you. Let him help you show more of the inside. Looks matter. They're just not the most important. Let me just share a couple of verses with you, and maybe one statement. Instead of spending so much, if you're dating, not that this is a series on dating or a sermon on dating. Instead of spending so much time looking for the right person, how about focus on becoming the right person? And people will recognize the person that you are becoming. We have our idea of what we think Jesus looked like. Some of us think Jesus was attractive. You know, there's nothing, zero, in Scripture to give that indication. As a matter of fact, 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said this: he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. God was saying, you need to know what's really important. You need to understand what is so. Nobody, as Jesus walked the planet, all the ministry, nobody did a double take because of his looks. Nobody. And it's not because he lacked worth. It's because worth is not the same thing as appearance. And when you and I get better at recognizing that, God will grow areas in our lives and our relationships in what he's doing with us and what he's doing through us. And stand with me this morning, and I'll remind you that the Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Let me pray with you. Lord Jesus, better. Better. On these 4 weeks that we together take this time to meet here and in our life groups, I'm looking forward to mine meeting on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to the discussion. Better. Us not getting so caught up in what our culture says matters, but just settling into your Holy Spirit at work in our lives, in the table of influence around our lives, putting our feet right under your table, knowing we're not alone, knowing your Holy Spirit is right there with us. As a church family, Lord, be with us as we walk through these next 4 weeks. May we be intentional about the way we think about this, which will determine the way we act and the way we live. Lord, we're looking for you to work in these areas in our lives. We, your church, your family, what you want to do in our lives, with anticipation, we walk into the next 3 weeks together. Do it, we ask. Lord, we love you. Lord, I love our church family. I'm so grateful for what you're doing here. We just pray that you continue it and grow it and help us to get bigger and help us to get even smaller at the same time as we grow together. In your name we pray. Church, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen.